to you when you are in the silence. Once again I will write upon your heart, and I'll meet you deep inside your inner castle, where together I've missed you. I've been waiting many lifetimes for your call, and I will see my song of those of those and I will see. Once again, I will fill you with my life, and I'll meet you deep inside your inner castle, and I will hold you through the darkest night, and you've no idea just how much I adore you.
You're listening to FRO Community Radio Station on 102.7 FM. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
Good evening, listeners of Co-op Radio Station. This is Andrew Resmer, Conscious Living Radio. Today we're going to be talking about an amazing concept, an amazing event that is going to be happening just in a few days, in next weekend. And our first guest, the creator, visionary of this event, Maureen Jack LaCrosse. I think we met a few years ago, I think a couple of years ago, when you initially started this project. And I remember reading your bio, and I'm not going to do it again, because you've done so much. It almost seems to be impossible for one person to create so many different huge projects and events. Please tell us a little bit more about the background of the event that is happening in a week.
Thank you, Andrew. This event is called The Great Turning, and it is That's a phrase coined by Joanna Macy to describe this whole shift in global consciousness that's underway right now from an industrial worldview to a life-sustaining society. So that is the purpose of the event, to help help that great turning happen. And I'm very excited about the wonderful collection of people that are coming together to participate in this. It's called an unconference because it is outside the traditional bring in an expert from out of town and talk at a lot of people and tell them what to do. This is very much people coming together who already are engaged and care about this whole ecological social shift, and meeting with, we have 40 community leaders coming together to help initiate and begin this whole process of dialogue. So everyone is set up in circles, and they are meeting intimately with these community leaders. We have three main streams of programming that we're focusing on. Again, that's grounded in the Joanna Macy wisdom. So the streams are action, innovation, and consciousness, because it's understood that this is happening all at the same time within the Great Turning. Action to hold back the destruction of our life support systems and the waste of our resources. Innovation to look at creating new ways and new structures of having a life-sustaining society. And the essential consciousness that is holding those two main activities, because, of course, without being grounded in a consciousness that recognizes this supreme interconnectedness of this web of life and the connection of humanity with all other species and the whole life support systems on the planet, none of those other actions have a foundation to rest on. So the consciousness is also a significant piece in this programming.
Mm-hmm. So it's called Great Turning. What are we turning away from, and what are we turning towards?
We're turning away from a worldview that really has been quite entrenched for the last 300 years, really since the Industrial Revolution, where we're developing wonderful technology, wonderful scientific discoveries by taking things apart and putting them into little pieces so that we could understand how they came together. But in that process, I think we lost sight of the fact that they are, in fact, all are together. So a big piece of the shift is recognizing that we're not, as you know, a collection of objects, that the world isn't made up of a collection of parts, but that they are all very much subjects and part of this web of life, and that all life is interconnected and supremely sacred.
So when we go through that turning, obviously the purpose of the conference is to start this turn, or I guess the turning has been happening for a while. Mm-hmm. Can you create a picture or image for us? How would the world look like mm-hmm. once we get there?
Hmm. That's a wonderful process, and visioning, you know, what this life-sustaining society would be is essentially what's going to be going on at this event, the Great Turning. Because when we're meeting with all these people, they all hold a little piece of the puzzle when we're looking at community resilience. What does that look like? And how do neighborhoods connect? And how do we create food networks so that we are becoming more sustainable? And how do we lower our consumption of precious resource of oil so that it lasts longer? This is a resource, as you know, that took millions of years for the earth to accumulate, and we're going through like gluttons, and there's going to be none left in a few decades. So what does it look like is part of what we're all actively engaged in exploring.
Mm-hmm. I guess there is fear of the other side, the side of groups of people who are dependent, their livelihood is dependent on status quo, mm-hmm. is dependent on us consuming more oil or anything else for that matter. There are mm-hmm. groups of people who their livelihood depends on us buying more junk and bigger houses and driving faster cars and creating more pollution. How can we create this image of this new society, this new world, exciting enough for all of us and all of those people who may not be excited just yet?
Mm-hmm. That is an excellent question. And, you know, I imagine many of us are adverse to change because we like to hold on to the illusion that, you know, we're safer if things don't change.
Mm-hmm.
But the, you know, everything in nature, everything around us in this beautiful world and universe indicates otherwise, that change is the one thing we can count on. So to resist it is futile. To participate in it, because things are changing now, and it's either going to change for the better or for the worse.
Right.
So to get on side and really participate in creating a positive future is really the deep, meaningful task that's there for all of us right now. And I think that perhaps is how to make it more interesting, you mm-hmm. know, because the economy is certainly different than my parents' generation, and the economy is different now than when I first entered into it 30 years ago. And the one thing I've always really enjoyed is my economy, my personal economy, is dependent upon creative ideas that build community and that are reflecting, you know, really wonderful aspects of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's constantly changing. So, how do we let people let go of the fear of change? Well, they could come to the Great Turning and explore all the wonderful options that are being offered and just embrace the fundamental elements of life, mm-hmm. which is, you know, we're changing, evolution is happening, and this is probably the single greatest opportunity to affect which way our future goes and how evolution will unfold. So it's very exciting. It's very juicy. And there are a lot of great jobs that, of course, come from that, because as we're exploring innovative ways of creating our lifestyle so that we're not being wasteful and we're not throwing things away and we're not depending on disposables, that whole illusion to build an economy based on that is, you know, clogging the life support systems of the entire planet and using up all our resources and then imagining that there isn't a way to throw them into, which there isn't, is erroneous. And to hold on to an illusion that is obviously not working is it's a dead end street. Mm-hmm. And so we're looking at creative other solutions, and it's very exciting to see the innovative opportunities and ideas that are coming forward.
Mm-hmm. And it seems that the kind of most challenging component is to help us see opportunity to be happy, joyful, blissful from within, instead of looking as we have been programmed for a few hundred years now, for something on the outside to provide that fulfillment.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that's what I love about your radio show is that we are looking at these internal resources mm-hmm. to really sustain us. And it's you know, that is part of the Great Turning, true, is bringing the spiritual wisdom in and the wisdom of our ancestors into harmony with our scientific, technological knowledge and seeing what can come forward when we're marrying our true value system that we are all implicitly engaged in with, and our actions coming together.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite an amazing point in time in the history of our planet and our species.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's why one of the three components of the project is raising consciousness. And you invited a few of your partners in this project. Mm-hmm. Can you introduce some of the guests we have in the studio?
Absolutely delighted to. The beauty of this work and the great turning is collaboration. And really, that's a big piece of consciousness that I think is shifting, is that we are not competing with each other. We're collaborating together to mm-hmm. bring forward these wonderful ideas. So I'm very happy to introduce Kate Sutherland. She is a master facilitator who has worked with organizations to help them realize their vision and their purpose and how to work most effectively. And she's been very instrumental in the development of the Be the Change program, which helps people get together in circles and collaborate together on their focus of intention. And she's written an amazing book called Make Light Work, which really is wonderful tools for tapping into our intuition and recognizing how we can find our inner guidance as we're moving forward. And I also, on my right, is Carl Perrin, who I have worked with through the Multi-Faith Action Society, and he's a very accomplished member of the Unitarian community mm-hmm. and is one of the founders of the Burns Bog Pilgrimage, which is a beautiful combination of taking action, stepping forward for what we believe in a nonviolent way that really is so restorative. I've been on the pilgrimage, and it's such a beautiful way to connect with what we believe in and to show our support for something. So I'm delighted that both of them were able to join us today.
Mm-hmm. So maybe before we involve both of you in talking about the projects or part of the project that you're involved in, can you give us an idea of the structure? How is this project structured from the inside out?
Well, the Great Turning is an event that takes place on Saturday, April 30th. Doors open at 8 o'clock, mm-hmm. nice and early, but there is coffee and yoga and beautiful music. And from 8 to 9 in that registration time period, people are able to sign up for the circle of dialogues that they would like to participate in the day. And then we have a beautiful First Nations opening with Reuben George, Chief Dan George's grandson. And we have an introduction of all the speakers that will be participating during the day. So we have 38 community leaders that will all be introducing.
Wow.
And then we're going to have a real fun, what we call the 10-minute turning talks. So at that point, all the delegates will be seated at their tables, and the speakers will be moving from table to table and giving their 10-minute talk, and there'll be just a few minutes in between talks where the delegates will partner up and share what came up for them about what they heard. And then the delegates will move to the table that they've chosen, and really then they hear a 10-minute talk from the speaker, and they engage in dialogue. So they have a full hour to really explore this topic.
Wow.
And we have music, we have poetry, we have fabulous food from, I think there are about as many food sponsors as there are speakers,
mm-hmm.
and a wonderful lunch, and we have speakers that will be speaking to each of those big main themes. So Tai Bridge will be speaking to action and the power of the action circle, because at the first Great Turning in 2009, he formed an action circle called the Wild Salmon Circle to focus on what's happening with the fish farms and how to bring that terrible destructive practice to the light and to help people understand what's going on so that they could choose differently in regards to farm salmon. So he's going to be speaking about his experience again in 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And later in the day, we'll hear from Andrea Reimer, who is heading up the whole stream of innovation, and she'll be speaking to community resilience. And there's 20 different aspects of community resilience that will be represented in the table talks. And then Rex Weiler will be speaking to consciousness and his talk on the importance of having a practice as a Shambhala warrior. So, and there'll be more dialogue circles, and it's and then towards the end of the day, there'll be an open space opportunity so that people will be able to gather together with others who either want to meet in community in their neighborhoods to take on community projects, or there is a burning issue like Tai had the fish farms that he wanted to address for the wild salmon, and so there'll be the issue oriented, or you know, the Burns Bog type of issues that people are gathering together to support. Or there's a stream of people that would love to continue to explore their purpose and passion. And so Kate will speak to that on the radio show and how they will be able to also meet together with trained facilitators that will be the change facilitators that have been trained in the What's Your Tree curriculum material that Julia Butterfly Hill put together, and they support each other to explore, well, what is my purpose and passion? This is this amazing time of the Great Turning. What am I to do in this? Because we all have a role to play. And then we have another whole show that happens in the evening. And Zamir Danji was going to come and join us on the show today, but he's been caught up in this whole traffic with the festival that's happening in town right now. And so if you like, I could even speak to the quickening.
Please do.
This is an amazing event. So just as we have all of these community leaders coming together in the daytime, and we're exploring in our minds what's there to do, it's really important to integrate that into our bodies, into our hearts and souls. And so in the evening, we have an opportunity to do that. And we have a dozen wonderful musicians that will be leading the participants through the four paths of transformation. And these four paths have been articulated by both Joanna Macy and Matthew Fox with Creation Spirituality. So they'll go through a journey through Via Positiva, Via Negativa, Via Creativa, and Via Transformativa. So fabulous music, lots of dancing, and within that ritual, they'll explore their awe and wonder and how grateful we are for all the blessings of the earth. They will share together their despair and anguish over the destruction of so much and, you know, the extinction crisis that we're in right now. And then we pass through to Creativa, where we recognize that together, co-creatively, we will rise to the occasion and acknowledge our connection with the divine in all of this, with this evolution of consciousness that's coming through, and that we're ready to take this quantum leap, which is what's at hand right now. And we'll share in that. And then in Transformativa, that's the dance of the Shambhala warrior. So we are ready to take that out into the world. The artists that have come together for this, that Zamir has brought together, include Shine Edgar, who's an amazing didgeridoo player, and Navarro and Karai, who are amazing drummers, and Jackie Asambe, who's a fabulous African dance community facilitator, Buckman Co., who's a beautiful lyrical band, and he's actually singing at the Great Turning as well.
We're going to be playing in a few minutes one of his songs.
Beautiful. And then Zamir and Greg, which is Nod, and I'll be doing some ritual work there, which is a wonderful counterpart to my producing techniques. And then Deciduous and Elemental Rhythm are two wonderful programmer DJs. And so we've got lots of music coming together.
Wow, it's amazing. And I think it's an important component of the project that you've created with your team, that this is not... I've taken part in so many different projects where people get together to complain about the status quo of what is not working in the world, and then they pat themselves on the back for whatever they are doing or want to do and go home and nothing changes, and they meet again next year to repeat the same ritual, your event is different. Be the change and all the events that are associated with it, it's a path. It's not one-time project. It is a path that invites people who are already producing change and creating change, and it's call for action for those who want to make a change and don't know how. Mm-hmm. And please address that part of the action.
Yes, thank you. That is such an essential part. Is the great turning doesn't happen in a day, mm-hmm. and we need to support each other. These are big changes. So the Action Circle program really helps people that do care and to connect and support each other and to find, you know, their common interest and carry on and get engaged in that. So we actually have a series of free workshops that are being offered to the delegates after the Great Turning. So when they've had a chance to connect and explore and, you know, with all these different topics and then connect with others, there are a series of workshops and programs that are going to be offered to them following the Great Turning. Mm-hmm. So if they are action-oriented, you know, they can get together with Carl and go, yeah, we want to be part of this pilgrimage and take part in that. And then how do we stay together after that? And what else do we do? Ben West from the Wilderness Committee is, with Be the Change, going to provide them with a workshop on how to define their issue and communicate with the media and work together to really map out what their strategy is and how they're going to move forward. Mm-hmm. Those that want to get together in community will be given a workshop from Village Vancouver and Be the Change so that they can be nested in community and, again, you know, figure out what project they want to do and explore the different ways that they individually can support each other within their lifestyles to make sustainable lifestyle choices. There's so many things we can do, and mm-hmm. people go, oh, it's too big, there's nothing I can do. We've got a book of 300 little things you can do that really make a difference. And then I'm very excited about the whole What's Your Tree circles that are coming forth from the Great Turning, and they support each other, and Kate Sutherland is the head of that whole stream of programming, to explore their purpose and passion. And the people that have been through that circle are so connected and so on fire, and it's wonderful to, it's so important to have a program to support us after we go to these
Definitely.
Events.
Yes. Well, let's move to our next guest, Kate. Tell us why, first of all, you're involved in this project and how you're going to be involved.
Well, I want to back up and give just a tiny bit of context because I first got involved in 2007. Can you hear?
It's not working very well, so let's move the mic.
That's better?
Yes.
There we go. Thanks. I just wanted to back up to 2007 and say that when I first heard about Be the Change, I understood that it was addressing three different legs. One is the personal fulfillment, another is social justice, and the third one is environmental sustainability. Mm-hmm. And often when we engage in social change or in transformation work, we're working with only one of those, and there's a lot of focus on the environment. I think there isn't as much focus as needs to be on social justice. And the spiritual or personal development component is often a very separate group of people doing important work but not connected in to those other streams. And I just fell in love with the way the issues were framed. Mm-hmm. So that was how I first got involved. And I worked with helping to develop the Action Circle program. And that was deeply joyous. We worked in circle together so that the creation of the program was actually embodying what we were talking about. And I have fabulous memories from really wonderful evenings, very creative, lovely community, like deep community. And then I started convening the circles because I wanted the morphogenic field to have circles that so that other people could experience it so that it would start to grow. Mm-hmm. And I convened a number of circles, one on food, one on voluntary simplicity. And then Maureen suggested this program called What's Your Tree? And my intuition just lit up. Like I had this very, very strong yes that I wanted to work with it. And as soon as I said yes, okay, I'll do that, I found out that in order for there to be a circle in Vancouver, there had to be someone who would play the role of a regional director. Mm-hmm. I said, okay, I'll do that too. And in order to be a regional director, you had to be on two different conference calls a week for an hour each. I thought, you're kidding. I don't think I can do this. But I went on the calls, and they became the highlight of my week. So it was an extremely well-held program. It's a really, really deep work that What's Your Tree has done to create a program with exactly what you're naming, Andrew, which is the importance of creating a deep capacity to facilitate change that where we're in strong community with each other. Mm-hmm. And the What's Your Tree program is absolutely stunning. It's a 7-week series of evenings or daytime. You know, you need to be together 2.5 hours each time, and working in a group of 6 to 12 people. And it takes you step by step to identify what is at the essence, what is your most important piece. So what came out for me was that my life purpose is quickening peace and joy. Mm-hmm. It's a very broad, deep statement, but I say that and I feel quickened. And I have watched, I've led 3 different circles and have watched people. It's as though they go from being vaguely having a sense of direction to being like profoundly clear, and then that with the support of the circle having an impetus to face their fears, to move into unknown territory, to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, which is what I feel we're all called to do. Mm-hmm. Is to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Amazing. Carl, you're action guy in this group. Well, I think all of us are action-oriented. This is the piece that is assigned to you. Tell us, why did you decide to get involved in this project and how you're going to do it?
The first thing I want to do is just express some gratitude. I'm just thinking about Co-op Radio starting 30 years ago. And there's Co-op Radio, there's Uprising Breads, there's a lot of things that I was around. I wasn't involved directly, but I saw them happening from the perspective of the food co-ops. Mm-hmm. And there's really a lot of wonderful things that have happened in Vancouver in the last 30, 40 years. So, you know, there's streams that intertwined with each other. The pilgrimage to Burns Bog, I guess it started, if you go back to 1990, there was a woman at our church, at the Unitarian Church, who was concerned about Burns Bog's survival because it was privately owned and, you know, development was on the table. And so she brought our attention to it. And then a few years ago, we heard about the Gateway program with the South Fraser Perimeter Road, which is to be built. I mean, people in Delta know all about that. It's in process right now, and it goes right along the edge of Burns Bog, and we're concerned that it could strangle with the other freeways that are around Burns Bog, that it could strangle Burns Bog and die. And there's 1.2 million tons of carbon that if it goes up in flames is going to be quite disastrous. So that was part of it, is just seeing what we can do to protect the bog. I think of our church as having kind of adopted Burns Bog, along with a lot of others like Burns Bog Conservation Society. And over the years, at first I had no idea what it was or where it was or anything, but this past year I've been going in with Don DeMille and some others to build dams on the drainage ditches. Mm-hmm. To help raise the water table and keep it healthy. And so that's about the only way you can get into the bog these days. And so now I have some hands-on appreciation for this beautiful ecosystem that you only see in microscopic ways. I mean, it's not huge trees, none of that. It's a lot of little tiny critters interacting with each other. So it's really quite a beautiful experience to be in it. But you've got to slog through the bog to be able to experience it directly. So we wanted people to have some way of experiencing it. And there is a section of the Delta Nature Reserve, which is bog. The rest of it is forest, which indicates that the bog has been dying on its edges, mm-hmm. and forest is taking over. And so the Delta Nature Reserve has some beautiful paths, boardwalks that go through it, and one of them takes you into the boggy part so that you can see some of these Arctic flora and fauna surviving at this latitude, which is quite amazing, really. So that was part of it, is to help people to love the bog, to learn how to love it. Mm-hmm. And then if you love it, you're going to protect it. Mm-hmm. And so so we declared it a sacred space, a sacred site. And that was in 1999 when there was a group called Visions for the Earth, which was an environmental multi-faith group. And a man named Alan Moranis from Or Shalom Synagogue had experience filming pilgrimages in India, and said, let's declare it a sacred site, mm-hmm. and then we'll have a site to pilgrimage to. And we did that, went into it. In those days, it was still legal to go into the bog. And ever since then, there's been a group of committed people. Co-chair of the pilgrimage is Sister Cecilia Hudick, and there are, you know, many others that participate. Acharya Dwivedi from the Hindu community, and others, Bob Worcester from the Anglicans, and so on, who have participated in organizing it year after year. Mm-hmm. And so that's still what happens every year, is we witness the destruction that's happening along River Road with the building of the South Fraser Perimeter Road, and we will continue to witness that every year. But also we go into the bog, and this year we'll have cello music, we'll have singers of the Sacred Web, we'll have a lot of really beautiful things, inspiring people like Faisal Mulla from the David Suzuki Foundation. Mm-hmm. So it'll be a very uplifting experience.
Mm-hmm. So your involvement with the Great Turning is to show this as an example of a project that has been successful.
It turns out that April 30th is the day of the Great Turning, mm-hmm. and May 1st, the next day, is the pilgrimage, mm-hmm. this year. Mm-hmm. So I want people to know about it, and if they want to participate, you know, the pilgrimage can be a spiritual experience. There are some really good books. The Art of Pilgrimage by Phil Cousineau is one that describes pilgrimage around the world. And, you know, because Europeans don't know this territory very well, they don't have a pilgrimage site. But really, we do. We have Haida Gwaii, we have Clackwit Sound, and we have Burns Bog. You know, places where you can go with the intention of connecting and learning and understanding how these ecosystems function. You know, it's just so amazing. Mm-hmm. So
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much. I remember not long ago talking to Andrew Harvey about spirituality and activism, because sometimes we feel that either we can't combine those two, that either we are activists protesting on the streets and fighting in more aggressive way, mm-hmm. With what is not working, in our opinion. Or we are spiritual and we're gentle, we're forgiving and loving and accepting everything that there is. He is obviously promoting the form of activism that is coming out of love, but still wanting to change. And it seems that Be the Change and Great Turning is very similar in the concept, in the background. Let's play the example of the music that is going to be played during the conference. We have The Apocalypse Is Not Guaranteed by Bachmann. How do we pronounce his last name?
Coe.
Bachmann Coe. And here it is.
Such as this is hard to find. Ooh, 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 ooh. The apocalypse is not guaranteed. No, it's not guaranteed. Just because it's written in some books.
This was a song by Bachmann Coe, who is one of the guests during event The Quickening, happening on Saturday, April 30th. This is Conscious Living Radio. You're listening to, and my name is Andrew Resmer. We have few amazing guests. Maureen Jack LaCrosse, we have Kate Sutherland, we have Carl Perrin, and we have one more guest online. Maybe, Maureen, can you introduce who else joining us?
Delighted to introduce Nick Grabovac, who is going to be speaking at the Great Turning about permaculture. Nick heads up the permaculture meetup group here in Vancouver, and permaculture is really such an essential element of this innovation. He's, you know, the guest representing the stream of innovation, and he can tell us all about permaculture, so I won't go into it. But what I love most is the way permaculture recognizes the wisdom of nature, and to learn from what nature does and work with nature instead of pitting ourselves against nature when we're looking at creating food. And so it's a beautiful, innovative approach that's come out of Australia and is a big part of the whole Transition Town movement, and it's a big part of being the change that we want to see for resilient communities.
Mm. And Nick has over 15 years experience in that, so amazing. Well, let's see. Are you there, Nick?
I am. Hello.
Hello. Well, tell us a little bit more about the background that you're bringing into this amazing project and why you decided to participate in it.
Sure. So I guess I've always enjoyed spending time in nature. I've always really appreciated being in nature. My parents used to take us on hikes and stuff all the time. And I guess that's where it all started. When I went to university, I studied ecology and botany. I got a master's in botany from UBC. And then decided, instead of pursuing a career in academia, that I would go a different route. But I kind of stumbled across permaculture at about that time. And it answered for me a lot of the questions that I had about how to apply all the things I had learned, you know, in my work in ecology, to basically create a better future for ourselves. So that's sort of how it all started. And then I went recently, I think a couple of years ago, to a Transition Town workshop where I met Maureen, and then I guess that's how we connected. And then not too long ago, she asked if I would speak at the Great Turning, and so there you have it.
Wow. And what are you going to be asking people to do, or the participants? What are you going to be teaching us during your section of the Great Turning?
Well, what I'd like to do is give people a sense for the importance of design thinking for creating sustainable and resilient communities. And that's really the heart of permaculture. Permaculture is a system for designing sustainable systems. It's a methodology for creating and maintaining systems that are sustainable and resilient. And it's really something that can be applied in so many ways, in so many different areas, and I feel it's desperately needed. It's a real piece of the puzzle here. Not the only piece of the puzzle, but it's a very important one. So I don't have a lot of time, you know, only 10 minutes when I do the talk, but I'm hoping to give people a little bit of a taste for what permaculture design is and how it can help them, even in their daily lives, begin the process of putting together a more sustainable and resilient community.
I try to always give our listeners very tangible skills or something that they can apply right away in their daily life. So for those listeners who are outside of Lower Mainland and would like to learn something right now, can you share a few ideas?
Okay. I guess the first would be to spend a lot of time observing before acting. Information is kind of the critical resource that allows people to make the change that they need to make. Information only becomes a resource when it's actually acted upon, however. So in addition to observing and gathering the information you need, then you have to act. So, without knowing specific details that different people might have. It's hard for me to make any sort of a specific suggestion. The other would be that instead of seeing things as problems, which is usually how things are presented to us, you know, we have these environmental problems, we have social problems, and so on and so on. Central belief in permaculture is that the problem is the solution. And so to turn things around on their head, so if for example, someone is feeling that the environmental and social problems facing them are just, they're too great, an individual can't do anything to make a difference, they feel alienated, they feel isolated and powerless, perhaps to turn that around on its head and say, well, it's not so much that there's a problem with powerlessness and alienation and problems being too large, it's more that there's simply a deficiency of community and of getting together with like-minded folks to affect the change. Something like that.
Well, thank you so much, Nick, and we're going to meet on Saturday. Thanks again for participating in our show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And same question to Kate. Something tangible, something specific that we can learn right now for those listeners who are online, for those listeners who are going to be listening to our recording. Tangible ideas that could be implemented right away.
In the theme of what's your tree
being
and life
change
purpose.
Change and turning, yes.
Yeah. So the paying attention to when something catches their attention. So life is trying to speak to us all the time. We're being, my deep belief is that we have a kind of an inner guidance system. I think of it as an inner GPS, and that what the consciousness part of the Great Turning is about is kind of helping us connect to and be more aware of our essence and of what's trying knocking on our door, as it were. So a really concrete and specific tip is to listen and be sort of tuned in for the next few days or any interval of time to what's catching your attention. Because often there'll be something that's on a radio show or a book that jumps off the shelf at you or some theme that you pick up in conversation two or three times in the next little while. And if you set the intention to discover what your life purpose is, and then you pay attention in that way, people often find that life is talking to them.
Yeah, because I guess that's the part that some of us have difficulty. We get involved in our daily life. We get we get married. We have children. We have jobs. We have responsibilities. We have mortgage payments, taxes, whatever life can mean to one of us or all of us, and. Sometimes it takes a huge tragedy in our life where there is something knocking on the door and asking us, you know, where are you going? What are you doing? What is this for? But let's, without tragedy, without huge issues coming up, if there is a burning desire to find this question, who am I? Where am I going? What is the purpose of that path that I'm on? Just listening to clues, and then what?
And then what? I think very important to find a support structure, whether you have it in your existing relationship or whether you can link, for example, through Be the Change, some way of being supported so that it's that. If you are with people, other people who are also wanting to live their life purpose or what's their deepest calling, we need each other because it will take us, it is both deeply, deeply, deeply rewarding and joyous. And it's also, I speak from personal experience, I am constantly taken over my edge, out of my comfort zone, and I need support. So I think. And it's easier, I think, even the first step of figuring out what it is that you're drawn to, it's easier to do that in a circle of support. So that's why it's so exciting that there is that stream of the what's your tree circles coming right out of the Great Turning.
Mm-hmm. So you're not promoting quitting job, shaking your head, moving to India?
My sense is, you know, that you can live your life purpose wherever you are. Even if you were in a prison cell, you could be living your life purpose. Mm-hmm. It's more your essence, and that you can live it in how you do even the most menial, you know, changing a diaper. You can do it in a way that's conscious. And
being surrounded with people who may have already started that path some time ago may help to avoid any potential mistakes.
It's one of the most powerful ways to connect with other people is when you're consciously seeking to live life on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost instant, deep, like I've known you forever community. It's, mm-hmm. it's really joyous.
Thank you. Carl, 1 minute. Tangible advice for those listeners who are not going to be able to come to Great Turning event and conference.
Well, the pilgrimage on May 1st, I wrote to someone that, you know, a pilgrimage can just be one person going out their back door. You know, local food is one of the simple things that people can pay attention to is getting local food, organic food that reduces the carbon footprint. That's so important. And so I want to get in a plug for our Oak Street Farmers Market starting on June 1st, Wednesday, at the Unitarian Church of Vancouver at Oak and 49th. People can bus there, they can bike there, and it makes a huge difference.
Perfect. Thank you. Maureen.
I would highly recommend that people take a stand and no longer use disposable packaging. So just do not use a disposable cup. It's one of those things when you make the stand and you go, okay, I can do that, and it may take a while to get your traveler with you at all times, but at a certain point when you've made a commitment, if you've forgotten it, you still will go, no, I don't need the tea. I don't need to cut down the tree and have a totally non-disposable plastic cup on top of it so that I can have my cup of coffee or tea. So that would be the one thing I would suggest people take on.
Well, thank you so much. We've been talking to Maureen, Jack LaCrosse, Kate Sutherland, and Nick. What was Nick's
name? Grabovac.
And Carl Perrin. And my name is Andrew Resmer. That was Conscious Living Radio. See you next week. And don't touch that dial. You're going to be listening in a few minutes to Discussions.
Sweet divine whisperings, sweet divine whisperings, sweet divine whisperings, rising up through my soul.
You have been listening to Conscious Living Radio, a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, the emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect a commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation. Tune in every Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. to Co-op Radio 102.7 FM. For information about our past and future programming and free downloads of shows, go to consciouslivingradio.org.
You see, I'm your